In the name of God, the Holy Trinity of Love. Amen. Please be seated. Despair has inundated many of our communities this week, along with the relentless rainfall. Tears have fallen along with the rain. There have also been moments of hope, mostly arriving along with heavy sandbags and wonderful, caring, compassionate acts from many. We have not heard in the media about prayers being said, but I suspect that many heartfelt ones have been, and these stemming from fear of heartbreaking loss or despair. And I also suspect that many others have either not thought of intentionally praying or have actually lost heart in the usefulness of prayer. I wonder what your prayer was like in this last week as you faced news from so many parts of the world as well as Australia. And as you faced all the day-to-day details of your own life, was your prayer like breathing, saying it to God like it is? Or did you feel it was an effort hardly worth making? It is true that we have often lost the way to true prayer, authentic prayer. We can be absent in our hearts, distracted by many things. Jesus acknowledges in the gospel reading today that we can lose heart in our prayer, that we may doubt the usefulness of it, or we may feel that all we are doing is crying day and night about something distressing us and finding no answers. Or in our struggle in prayer, we may have found ourselves bored, tired. Oh, it's just a habit I've got into. It's really not doing much for me. And ultimately, we may even be afraid that we will be disappointed in prayer. At an even more fundamental level, if we allow ourselves to think it, we may even be disappointed in God. But is it all our fault, really? What about God? Does God disappoint us because God is silent, out of reach, invisible? Well, the prophet Isaiah thought so. At one point he said, "Verily, thou art a God that hidest thyself." And Gerard Manley Hopkins, the poet, also thought so in his poem. "God, though to thee our psalm we raise, no answering voice comes from the skies. To thee the trembling sinner prays, but no forgiving voice replies. Our prayer seems lost in desert ways, our hymn in the vast silence dies." Is that a completely hopeless poem or prayer poem? Well, no, not really. What's the first word? God. It is a prayer to a God. So is that all the end of the story, or can we become more daring and more bold in our prayer? We certainly should not idealize prayer. It can be difficult, an uphill battle, and ultimately comes to us as gift. Piety and niceness don't work in prayer. It's not about having good manners as we speak to God. And we need to acknowledge that as well as being disappointed in ourselves, We can be disappointed in prayer in the church with our greatest fear of being disappointed in God. In Psalm 25, the psalmist repeats to God, "Let me not be disappointed or ashamed in you," as one translation says. The very first step into prayer, the most authentic thing to do, is acknowledging our fear of disappointment. This indeed is being part of becoming more bold in our prayer. We need to find a deeper, stronger yearning in our hearts, that yearning that the psalmist in Psalm 84 talks about. "My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God." And what we bring to God is what, in the parable, the widow brought. It is the biblical soul, our deepest self, the breath that dwells in our flesh and moves our body, that anguish, sorrow, tiredness, that is all part of our lives. Our prayer needs to be true, and that means truly human. On the one hand, we say with the psalmist, "In you I trust, O my God, let me not be disappointed." And also, "Let me not be disappointed, for I trust in you." This is authentic prayer that keeps on being open about our need. This is daring prayer, where we learn to persevere and find the hope that flourishes. Through this, we may even find that we love God's words and the sweetness of them, as we read in Psalm 119 today. So one of the ways we pray is to meditate on Scripture, wrestle with it, listen deeply to it, because it can be perplexing and confronting, and turning then our responses and our reflections into prayer to God. We say it to God, whatever our response or our reaction is. And Jesus gives us an excellent reason in the gospel reading for being bold enough to speak to God about our reactions. He says, "The merciful love of God meets you, answers you." In this very creative parable of Jesus, the widow is powerless. One of the most socially and economically vulnerable people in first century Palestine. In spite of that, she refuses to be silenced. And this judge, arrogant, narcissistic, denying his need of God, is worn down by her persistence. Jesus says, if that judge finally gives the widow what she wants and needs, then just think how different it is praying to a loving, merciful God who longs to give us what we need. Prayerful persistence is essential not just for ourselves, but for the injustices in the world that wreck people, where religion is often seen and can be part of the problem rather than the solution. And if we persist in prayer, we might find that eventually we merge into what Lucy Winkett, the vicar of St. James Piccadilly in London, describes. We find a huge love like the ocean or the night sky, in which the torturous anxieties and sickening worries that occupy our mind most days can be put down and given over. And this love that we find in prayer is what we then carry as individuals and as church into the world. For in the world there is another related matter to be persistent about, as St. Paul tells Timothy in today's reading. This is about continuing to proclaim the love of God, not just privately or with people we're comfortable with, but publicly, and whether the time is favourable or unfavourable, as one translation puts it, in season and out of season. A personal story here, if I may. I was challenged this week by a Christian medical professional at an unfavourable time for me in a medical consultation. He challenged me about being a woman priest and about preaching and about holding views that he classed as liberal. So was I to keep quiet? Or was I to do what I did do? To point to the God who respects all and to Christ who is an inexhaustible source of love, acceptance and peace. Thus challenging, perhaps, the medico's lack of tolerant understanding. So what do we proclaim as individuals and as church in season and out of season? That we are all beautifully made and loved as we are, regardless of our age, our sexuality, ethnicity, gender fluidity, or non-binary identity, and so on. Whatever our physical, emotional, or mental health. We are called to persist in confronting and challenging any view within ourselves or other Christian communities or other communities that diminish the dignity of another. And just to be tolerant is not enough. Through our love of God and God's word, we are to commit ourselves to love, mercy, and justice, and to never give up. For resoundingly written in our hearts, implanted there by God, as we are told in our reading today, is the deep inner knowing, I am your God, and you are my people. This is truly our hope that shall never disappoint us. And in this hope we come to God to say to God, I know that you are always with me and that nothing will ever separate me from your love. Amen.